Jack Pelton is out at Cessna. Steve Morrow is the new CEO at InSitu. And CFIs and gliders can now be masters too. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2011. There's been a sudden change at Cessna. Jack Pelton is out as chairman, president, and CEO, and the announcement didn't come from him. It's technically effective June 1st, but Pelton is no longer in day-to-day charge, according to the announcement. Scott Donnelly, chairman and CEO of Cessna's parent, Textron, announced Pelton's retirement and offered terse praise. Quote, "Under Jack's leadership, Cessna achieved many significant program and product milestones and strengthened its position as a thought leader in the aviation industry. We appreciate Jack's efforts and wish him the best in his future endeavors," unquote. Pelton joined Cessna in November 2000 as Senior VP of Product Engineering and oversaw Cessna's engineering and product development. He was named President and Chief Executive Officer in 2003 and Chairman in 2005. Textron says a search is underway for a successor. Donnelly will run the business until one is found. As far as we know, Pelton is still scheduled to be a keynote speaker at the Pilot Training Reform Symposium, scheduled to start this evening in Atlanta. Steve Morrow has been named by Boeing as president and CEO of its InSitu subsidiary, effective immediately. Morrow succeeds CEO Steve Sliwa, who retired on April 1st. Debbie Rubb, VP and General Manager of Boeing's Missiles and Unmanned Airborne Systems Division, commented, quote, "InSitu is the industry leader in the design, development, and manufacture of high-performance, low-cost, unmanned airborne systems and has a bright future. Under Steve's leadership, with his advanced customer knowledge and experience leading large, diverse teams, InSitu is well-positioned to build on its reputation for innovation, agility, and global customer responsiveness," unquote. Morrow most recently served as director of Boeing's Standoff Strike Unit, leading long-range weapons programs including the U.S. Navy's Harpoon and SLAM ER missiles, the U.S. Air Force's air-launched cruise missile, the next-generation cruise missile, and Boeing's portion of the Aegis Ballistic Missile Defense Program. Morrow previously held other significant leadership posts for Boeing weapons systems programs. Master Instructors LLC has announced revisions to its Master Instructor Continuing Education Program to provide participation by glider instructors. An advisory committee of five master CFIs who also were experienced glider instructors developed a number of glider-specific recommendations that have been incorporated into the Master Instructor application package. Program co-creator Joanne Hill commented, quote, "Although numerous glider instructors have earned Master Instructor accreditation, critical differences between glider and powered aircraft training made it difficult for many otherwise qualified glider instructors to become masters. The changes we've made bring parity to the two training environments, and we hope more glider instructors will now aspire to become masters," unquote. The Master Instructor Program provides a national accreditation for aviation educators based on advanced professional standards and rigorous peer review. Sandy and Joanne Hill have been serving the Master Instructor community since 1995. The last 16 National Flight Instructors of the Year have all been masters. Airbus says the exceptional commercial activity for its A320neo is led by a just-announced 100-aircraft order from International Lease Finance Corp. A memorandum of understanding had been signed back in March. Joining ILFC in signing agreements since December are Indigo, Virgin America, and Brazil's TAM. Each will benefit from the A320's more efficient engines and large sharklet wingtip devices for fuel savings of up to 15% and additional range of up to 500 nautical miles or 2 tons of extra payload. Airbus says the selection by customers earlier this year of Pratt & Whitney's PW1100G as lead development engine allowed the A320neo's development to be accelerated. The plane was originally scheduled for service entry in 2016, but is now targeted for the fall of 2015. Current plans call for an 8-aircraft flight test program of about 2,600 flight hours. Still ahead, Atlas will begin passenger service for the military. General Atomics will supply Predator Bs to Germany. And ACINA comments on the Bin Laden matter. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings says its Atlas Air Incorporated unit has been approved by the U.S. Department of Defense to begin providing passenger charter service for U.S. military personnel, complementing what the company describes as its longtime position as a premier supplier of military cargo charter solutions. The new service is expected to start this month. Atlas Air Worldwide CEO William J. Flynn commented, quote, "We expect modest levels of military passenger flying in 2011, which will increase in 2012. We anticipate a moderate earnings impact this year, considering the hours of activity and the startup costs we have incurred since January. Each hour we fly is an hour of growth for us, and it's part of our strategy to mitigate any reduction in cargo demand," unquote. Flynn adds that he sees meaningful earnings growth from passenger operations in 2012 and beyond. A memo of understanding has been signed between General Atomics and RUAG Aerospace Services to offer the Predator B unmanned aerial system to meet the surveillance needs of the Federal Republic of Germany. With the MOU, the German government has established a bridging solution for its airborne intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance requirement for unmanned aerial vehicles. The MOU anticipates that RUAG will assist in the adaptation of hardware to German national standards, offer guidance and support for German airworthiness certification requirements, and provide logistical, operational, and maintenance support of Predator B after delivery. The Predator B has a payload of 850 pounds internally, or 3,000 pounds externally, and is a long-endurance, medium-high-altitude UAS that can be used for surveillance, military reconnaissance, and targeting missions. The aircraft has a maximum gross takeoff weight of 10,500 pounds, is powered by a Honeywell turboprop engine, has a maximum altitude of 50,000 feet, and can stay aloft for up to 30 hours at a time. Republic Airways Holdings has amended its capacity purchase agreement with Delta Airlines to provide for the addition of 6 dual-class Embraer E-170s. The move follows a previously announced amendment in January, in which Delta added 8 of the same aircraft to its capacity purchase agreement. The additional 6 aircraft are expected to be placed into Delta Connection service between July and October, and will have a term of 6 years from the in-service date for Delta. All 14 E-170s will be operating for Delta by October 1st, making a total of 54 aircraft being operated by Republic on behalf of Delta. Republic will also remove 3 ERJ-135s from its fleet at the end of their lease term this September. 6 E-190s, currently on firm order and slated for delivery in the third and fourth quarters of this year, will now be delayed by an average of 2 months due to parts orders backlogged as a result of the earthquake in Japan. The company now plans to spread the delivery of those aircraft through the first quarter of 2012. And finally today, reports of and reaction to the death of Osama bin Laden in a U.S. raid on a compound in Pakistan Sunday have dominated the news for the last 48 hours. And if you'll excuse the unavoidable pun, I think it's kind of been overkill. I was disappointed Sunday night when, after plenty of coverage by the networks, my local NBC TV affiliate decided to take the night off from any local news gathering and spend the entire half hour providing a platform for federal lawmakers representing Utah to bloviate and try to take credit for the kill. I've tried to avoid adding to the overkill here. But I'm mentioning the story now because we got a statement which may be of specific interest to aviation. No one has been more affected by the decade-long war on terror than U.S. commercial airports. The knee-jerk reaction of Congress after 9/11 brought us one-size-fits-all checkpoint screenings, which have hurt airports, airlines, business relying on travel, and the U.S. economy. Regarding Sunday's big story, the following is the comment from Greg Principato, president of Airports Council International North America. Quote, The death of Osama bin Laden is welcome news for civilized people everywhere. Today is better than yesterday. But there remains a need to remain vigilant and smart. In particular, there is a heightened need to share intelligence on the threats we face so that we can take strong, common-sense steps to keep our passengers secure while we move them quickly and efficiently to their destinations. This news is not an end, but, to paraphrase Churchill, perhaps the end of the beginning. The 9/11 attacks changed everything about air travel. It is time to learn the lessons of these past 10 years and make common-sense changes to our security regime. Our passengers deserve no less, unquote. It's worth noting that the raid Sunday night didn't make forced entry into every building in a 20-mile radius of Islamabad, which would have been a massive waste of resources and upset the lives of many innocent people, but rather used intelligence to limit the focus to the known bad guys. And yes, that's an intentional metaphor. Why can't Congress and TSA use the same approach when dealing with American travelers? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks about the beginning of a recovering market with Kirk Fryer, Vice President of Sarasota Avionics International. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.